Become a Leslie's Pro member, and with almost 1,000 locations conveniently located less than 3 miles from your service route, you can quickly get in and out and take care of your customers. Get Skimmer, America's number one pool service software platform. Listeners of the podcast can try Skimmer for free. Visit my website, swimmingpoollearning.com, and click on the Leslie's Pro and the Skimmer banners to learn more. The Pool Guy Podcast Show. The Pool Guy Podcast Show. Hi, welcome to the Pool Guy Podcast Show. Since this is episode 600, I thought I would reset things and also talk about the end game. And this is not a Marvel movie, of course, but a reference to what you're working towards as a pool service professional and kind of building for the future. Depending on where you're at, you may be young, old, or just starting out or been doing this for a while. I'm going to give you some tips on what you should be looking towards when you're going to be coming near the end of your career. Pool Service Pro, open a Leslie's wholesale account today and receive wholesale pricing on products you use every day. Leslie's Pool Supply offers convenient locations that are open 7 days a week. Another great benefit of opening a Leslie's wholesale account is Leslie's referral program. Get referred to a customer looking for weekly pool service. Also receive priority service, enhanced rebate programs, a discount on your general liability insurance through Spa, a discount on your pool routing software through Skimmer, and an opportunity to co-brand with Leslie's on your social media, website, truck, and more. Save time and money and grow your pool service route and become a Leslie's Pro. So I hope Disney's not going to sue me for using that term endgame here, but basically I'll just go over a brief summary of my background in the industry. And I always like to reset things when I get to these kind of even numbered 100 podcasts. So I'm at number 600 right now. I've been doing this for a while here. I do a podcast Monday through Friday. And so the numbers build pretty quickly here with the podcast every day, Monday through Friday. I've been in the industry since 1990. I started out at 16 years old, actually 15 and a half, I would say. A family friend trained me in the industry back in 1988. And I would say I've been in the industry since 1990 because that's when I actually started actually working as a full-time pool service professional. I worked for a pool store in Rancho Cucamonga. It was called Splash Pools. I believe he's retired now for many years. And that's where I got my start in the industry, working at a pool store. In fact, when I was 15 and a half, I did work at another pool store in Upland, which was Gary's Pool Store. And that's when I was working through an ROP program at the school. And I was working after lunchtime doing a few pools, which was probably not legal at the time, but they let me get away with it because, you know, it was the 80s and you can pretty much do anything in the 80s. So this is to say that I have a long history in the industry. I mean, there were white creepy crawlies back in my day. I don't know if you remember those with kind of bolt holding them together. And then you had the Hayward Navigator. Those are like the two premier suction side cleaners out there. A lot of stainless steel equipment, a lot of separation tanks for the DE. So it was kind of like the dark ages of pool service. So fast forward to currently, I've been doing the YouTube stuff, the podcast, the consulting, the coaching for a while now. And so I have a lot of industry experience under my belt. You know, I wouldn't say that I'm an expert at everything in the pool industry, but I know enough to, based on the fact that I've been gaining knowledge over the years, and I've been in it for a long time, so I know kind of how things went decade to decade. And basically, I take all this information and I apply it here at the podcast, the YouTube videos, when I review a product, when I'm coaching someone in my group. All of this knowledge comes back. And it comes in handy to have these years of experience in the industry. So one thing I would like to talk about today is if you're in the industry, let's say you're starting out, you're at the ground level, you're in your early 20s, maybe you're in your 30s, you have to kind of think also of an end game, where you're going to be when you're in your 50s and 60s. And I know it's hard to think about that, but I would kind of liken it to a professional sporting athlete kind of profession. I'm not saying that we're at that caliber, but you kind of have that lifespan physically of an athlete. And so most athletes will retire in their early 40s, with some exceptions. You know, I think baseball, they can probably go until their mid-40s, and some football players also go later. But basically, your body wears out from being out there with the daily wear and tear of doing a physical job like pool service. And it is physical, not maybe as physical as other jobs out there, but you're still out there every day in the elements and you're doing physical work. So I'll use myself as an example. My left hand is that last part of my left hand, the bottom two or three fingers, don't work very well anymore with all the repetitive motion. I sleep at night with compression gloves on because of that reason. And I really don't have a lot of movement in this on my left hand per se. So I have to limit myself with the amount of installs I do now because I can't really grip things properly or do things properly. And, you know, this year I turned 50, and basically being out there all this time doing repetitive motion and doing physical work wore out my body pretty much in that aspect. My knees are fine. My back is fine because I took precautions. I wear knee pads out there. If you see my videos, I'm wearing knee pads, and I wear a back brace when I'm working. And I started wearing a back brace about 8 years ago or so. I didn't wear one before that, but when I pulled my back one day and I had to sleep on the floor for 3 weeks. And by the way, that's a little tip. If you ever hurt your back doing this kind of work, just sleep on your floor for 3 or 4 weeks and you're going to feel a lot better than sleeping in the bed. I know it takes a while to get used to it, but it really helped me when I hurt my back. So a little pro tip there. But basically, I've been wearing a back brace since then and the knee pads, so that really helps. And of course, I wear gloves because the chemicals we use out there are all cancer-causing chemicals of one form or another. And so you want to protect yourself by, you know, wearing a mask when you put diatomaceous earth in the filter. Definitely wear gloves when you handle chemicals, the trichlor. If you've ever seen the trichlor factory, you have all the employees in there in these hazmat suits, basically. And I ran into someone who used to work in one of these companies, and one day he forgot his gloves. For some reason, he brought them home. These are like really high chemical resistant gloves. So he just wore like regular kitchen gloves, you know, and his hands were all burned after a day of working there. So definitely very toxic chemicals we deal with. And so you have that cancer risk there. And then, of course, you're out there with the sun beating down on you and you have that cancer risk there. I don't know how many pool guys I don't know who have had cancer on their face or neck. So a lot of guys do get that cancer on their face and neck and on their arms. So you definitely want to protect yourself from skin cancer by wearing a lot of suntan lotion. I have a video where I go over ways I protect myself. And in that video, you're going to see me kind of lather myself up with like baby suntan lotion. It's like the kids version because it's really thick and I like it. And I feel like it protects me. I tried the spray stuff. I just don't feel like it's protecting me as much as kind of the thick white suntan lotion. And so definitely think about protecting yourself out there because your body will wear out. And of course, the sun causes cancer. So those two hazards. And plus, the chemicals we use are carcinogens. Most of them have labels on them that say they cause cancer. If you look at the bag of diatomaceous earth that we use in the filters, you can see that it's registered as a industrial carcinogen, which means overuse over time. Using it in your specific industry like pool service, you can develop lung problems from the silica breathing it in. It stays in your lungs and could cause actually lung cancer at some point, I'm sure. So those are all hazards of the job. So I think one thing you have to kind of keep in mind is, where are you going to be 20 years from the day you started? Are you going to be out there doing the pools yourself still? Or are you going to be doing something else? And I think the options for you working out there until you're 60 is viable. I mean, there's a lot of guys out there that are still working in their late 50s and 60s. And I myself still maintain a pool route out there. And so I'm working out there in the field. Not as much as I used to work. When I was much younger, I was able to do a lot more pools per day. And I had a much bigger route. And so as you get older, you can't do quite as many pools, and you feel it for sure as the day goes on. Even though I feel like I'm pretty physically fit, I still get worn out by working out there, especially when it's a really hot day. And so these are the things you have to think about. And if you're young, you probably don't think about it too much, but I would say that you can go in three different directions in the pool industry. You could build an empire, which is a lot of guys that I know do. I have a good friend that has 1,200 pools or 2,000 pools. I can't remember how many he has. And multiple employees. You can definitely build that. And kind of sit behind the desk at that point, handle calls, go out when you're needed, and kind of run that empire. And you don't need, you know, 1,200 pools. You can do that with 300 and be pretty successful with employees working underneath you and having good income coming in without you having to do a lot of the physical work anymore. And so you can build your route towards that empire kind of building, as I refer to it. Or you could retire from being out in the field and work for a manufacturer. Hayward likes to hire people with pool background. Leslie's hires people with pool service background. Pentair, become a rep or work in a department. And a lot of guys will transition from their pool route and they'll work for a manufacturer. And that's a good way to get out of the field and still kind of stay in the industry. You just have to understand that now you're going to be working for a corporate company. And even though you've been working on your own all this time, there are different things involved when you work for a corporation like Hayward or Pentair or Jandy. So those are options also. If you feel like you can't work in the field forever, you can definitely apply to work in one of these other fields inside the industry. And some people have very good success at it, working for a manufacturer after being in the field, because they take that field experience and apply it to different areas in that particular industry. Or you can do what I'm planning to do when I finish, and which is to live off passive income. You can do this with stock investing, real estate investing, is which I've done. I've done a lot of real estate investing. So I plan on living off of the rental income coming in from the properties that I purchased. And this is the way I'm looking at the end game for myself, is that I will be out of the industry one of these days. Right now I'm enjoying what I do, and I should back up and say that, you know, I could leave at any time I want to at this point, but I really enjoy my work. I like doing the podcast here. I like doing the YouTube videos. I like maintaining a pool route. All of this is enjoyable to me. But the day that I decide that I don't want to do anything anymore, I can definitely just live off the passive income that I developed. And so how do you develop the passive income? Well, you start young. And so if you're in your 20s, you definitely want to invest in Roth IRAs, standard IRAs, investment funds, whatever you want to put your money towards. And if you're a Dave Ramsey fan, he recommends 15% of your income towards that. And that kind of builds over the years. If you, you know, the stock market's at 32,000 right now, 33,000. If you look back over the years, I just pulled this up on my computer. If you go back to the year 2000, the Dow was at 10,700. So that's, you know, what is that? Three times the amount that it was at back in the year 2000. So if you invested in 2000, you've pretty much, what is that? Tripled your money, I guess. I can't really do the math in my head. Anyway, you made a lot of money if you invested way back then. And so it kind of gradually builds over time if you invest in the market. I think owning real estate for me is the best investment, because you don't have to wait until you're, you know, 59 or 69 to draw the money. You'll be able to get the rental income every month from your tenants. And if you have some kind of mortgage on the property or expenses, you can write those off, and then you're going to be able to keep more of the money that you earn. And so rental properties are a great way to offset your taxes. You can depreciate, you know, about $5,000 of the value of the property over 22 years. And that's also a tax break. But any kind of expenses you put into the property, including the mortgage and property tax, can be deducted from your taxes. You have to find a good CPA that can really utilize this aspect of it. And then you develop the portfolio of rental properties. And one of the things that's really nice about it is that you own the asset if you pay off the mortgage, which is what I do, or hold them without any mortgages, which is what I also do. And then you basically have that asset worth, you know, $400,000. And if you know real estate is always going up, may go down a little bit, but because it's based on kind of the inflation rate. For example, if you look at a house that was 2 years ago selling for $300,000 and today it's selling for $400,000, that doesn't necessarily mean that it went up by $100,000 in value. That may mean in a lot of cases that the area, or the area that the house is in, the amount of money or the value of that dollar is less 2 years later down the road. For example, you know, if you go to a burger place and buy a burger today, you know, it's like $9 for a burger special. And 5 years ago, that same burger special was $5. Doesn't mean that that particular burger special has increased by, you know, $4. It just means that the amount of money that a dollar is worth has gone down. And that's kind of based on the 4% inflation rate that we face every year as kind of a baseline. And so the house not necessarily has gone up by $100,000 in value. It's just that the dollar is worth less because of inflation. And so if you hold that house for 10 years and it's worth $600,000, you're hedging your bet against inflation by not having the money in your bank or another investment type. And that's kind of the benefit of having the real estate, is that the value goes up usually higher than the rate of inflation, and therefore the money you invest kind of grows that way. I don't know if that makes any sense to you, but basically putting money in real estate, paying off the mortgage and holding the house, is probably one of the best ways to have real wealth or real transferable wealth in your portfolio. Now, I'm not a financial advisor by any sense. I just play one on this podcast here. But basically, you know, if you have a balanced portfolio with investments in a Roth IRA, and the reason why I suggest a Roth IRA is because when you draw that at the end, you don't pay taxes on it. Now, that doesn't offset any of your taxable income now, but later on when you're, you know, 60 or 70, you draw out $200,000 from your Roth IRA, you don't have to pay any taxes on that money. Whereas in a traditional IRA, you're getting a break on your income so that if you make $50,000 and you put $10,000 in that, you're only going to be taxed for $50,000 from the IRS. However, when you draw out $200,000 on that, you're going to pay whatever your tax rate at that time is. So talk to a financial advisor. They'll tell you what's best for you at your age. I think the Roth IRA is probably one of the best things you can do as a pool service worker or pool service professional. Start one of those and contribute your maximum amount every year. And if your wife is an employee of you, you can definitely have her utilize her income from your business to open up a Roth IRA in her name, and you would kind of double your investment there. But back to the real estate, I think for me, it's one of the things that I really enjoy also because it's something tangible. I can drive by the property and it's like, hey, that's my house. So you got to start developing some ideas on what you're going to do at the end when you are going to retire, because you can't work forever and you have to have something to kind of go into, because even if you're not doing pool service, whatever you're doing, you need some kind of retirement because you can't rely on just Social Security to get by because of the fact that everything costs a lot of money. As you get older, things are going to be much more expensive for you. So start now while you're young, or if you're older, just double up your investing now and kind of build on that to kind of get a head start or kind of catch up, I should say, because you started too late. And if you think that what I'm saying here doesn't make any sense at all, that, hey, you know, I'm working and I don't really need to put any money away or invest or save, you know, 53% of Americans don't have any kind of investments. And these are the people that are going to be relying on the government to kind of help them out when they get older. And I don't think you want to be in that position when you're older, when you can do something now to avoid that. So definitely try to build some kind of investment either in the market or in real estate or any other kind of investment that you think is smart. Again, I'm not a financial advisor, but I think you have to do something with your money. And I think I should back up a little bit and explain that when you're working out there in the industry, one of the goals is to be profitable. And being profitable doesn't mean that you're making money and you're paying your bills. That's not profitable. You can do that working at Walmart. That's just a job, basically. Being profitable is having extra money left over after you pay your bills, after you reinvest in your business. And this extra money could be for savings. I would say about 10% of your income should be going towards savings. And then the rest of it would be going towards investing, either real estate or the market. Now, if you don't have a profit, you don't have the extra money to invest, then I think you have to look at your business plan and realize that you're just spinning your wheels out there, because you need to be working to generate income to make a profit so that you have that money available to invest in the future. And that includes empire building. If you wanted to build a big pool route, you're going to need that kind of money to sustain yourself as you're building an employee, because you'll probably lose some money at the beginning with an employee. I don't think you would have enough pools to where it's profitable right away. And so you're going to have to use some of that profit to offset some of the losses when you bring an employee on. And the same thing when you're switching industries, you may not make as much in a different field, like working for Hayward, that you made doing your own pool service route. And so you're going to have some kind of profit or investments built up to offset that. Now, if you're not making a profit in your business, you may not be charging enough per month. You may not be doing enough work per month to get that profit. Or you may have to look at your whole business plan and see how you can actually make money doing pool service, which is very easy to do if done right. And so I think for you to think about the end game, you have to kind of think about your business model now and what you want to do. I mean, you may not be thinking about that too much as you're building your pool business up, but on the back of your mind, you should have some thought of, hey, you know, 15 years down the road, where am I going to be? Am I going to be out here working, doing 80 pools a week or 90 pools a week? Or am I going to have employees? I'll be in the office kind of doing estimates and bids and things like that, having them work for me. Or am I going to be in another industry, you know, working for Hayward or Pentair, because being out in the field, I'm getting too old for that. or are you going to live off some kind of passive income or investment? I know another pool guy that they bought a coin laundry, which is actually a pretty good business if you think about it. And he's going there and collecting the coins, or he can hire someone to do that also. But you go in there and you collect the coins and you make pretty good money. So he has a side business he has going on there. And that's perfectly fine. If you want to switch industries or have a side business, that's up to you. But I think yet when you start out, you don't really think about these things. I didn't think about these things either, I'll be honest with you. It's just one of those things that I kind of fell into thinking about. One day I realized that, you know, I need something else besides the pool service. And I wasn't really in the empire building. I didn't want to have a bunch of employees and I didn't want to run a big business. And that wasn't my personality. And still till this day, I don't have the desire to do that. But you may have the personality for that and go for it. I'm all for you doing that. I'm kind of more of, I like investing my money, watching it grow. And then I like to just live off of the passive income, which for me will be the rental income on the properties that I own. And I can live pretty comfortably on that. Plus, I have, of course, investments in the market. And I'm going to get Social Security because as you report your taxes as a self-employed person, you do pay Social Security. And I think I should end with this here, is that a lot of times you can get away with not reporting a lot of things on your taxes. And, you know, that's up to you how you want to structure your business, what you want to report. But I think in the end, if you're making a lot of money and you're not reporting your income correctly to the IRS, that kind of hurts your future investing ability. And by this, I mean, if you're not going to buy a house cash, they're going to look at all of your tax returns for the, you know, for the last 2 years when you purchase a house, getting a mortgage. And if you're not reporting your income correctly by, you know, paying employees under the table or not reporting your full income, when you go to get that mortgage for the investment property or your own personal home, you're going to have a hard time explaining why you only make $20,000 a year or $30,000 a year when you should be making $50,000 or $60,000. So I know a lot of people that are actually hurting themselves by kind of paying people under the table or not reporting their income. In fact, I have a relative that worked for a hairstylist for many, many years, and she rented a chair and never reported her income. And so when she went to retire, her Social Security was like $900. You know, that was all she was going to get because she never reported her income. And so those things are kind of important. I mean, it's up to you. You're your own boss, basically, out there. You do your own taxes. I'm not going to say what you should report, what you shouldn't. But I'm saying if you really want to build wealth, you should be showing some kind of income so that if you wanted to buy a rental property somewhere, for instance, you just show your tax returns and it shows you're making good money. That's all fair. And I think that's something that you need to consider also, is that with all the checks and balances that they're doing now, you really can't, you know, bring $100,000 cash into a deal without having some kind of record of where it comes from. There's a law that went into effect for the terrorism thing. So all the money needs to have, all the money over $10,000 needs to have some kind of money trail behind it when you invest it. So definitely think about those aspects also. And I know a lot of people don't think about that. They just think about, you know, I want to not pay as much taxes. And believe me, I'm the same way. I pay a lot of money in taxes every year. And it hurts to write those checks to the IRS. But it's something that you have to kind of do in order to build wealth. Part of building wealth is paying higher taxes so that you can build more wealth with a higher income. I don't know if that makes any sense. But basically, you want to set yourself up at the beginning when you first start your business. And you want to look ahead to the end game. And I would say you want to be 90% focused on what you're doing now. Because you want to build up your business. You don't want to be overly focused on the end. But just like when you're driving your car, you're looking forward 90% of the time, but you're looking back in your rearview mirror every 10%. Of course, you're looking for police officers or for what's going on behind you, but you're always looking back at some point. And so you want to also have some time when you're looking forward, building up your business, to look at the end game, which is kind of like looking in your rearview mirror, to kind of have that in mind. And as you kind of get older, like me, you're probably going to be looking in your rearview mirror more often because you're getting closer to the end game than not so. And so I think that's kind of how I look at it. I myself, again, didn't think of this when I was starting out. I kind of just developed this and I had some good mentors also that kind of guided me financially. And I think that's really important too. If you are starting out and you don't know much about finances, there's a lot of resources out there on the internet, on YouTube. Find a mentor that has invested and knows what they're doing and can kind of guide you and give you the direction you need For me, my specialty is real estate. I know a lot about being a landlord. I've been a landlord since the year 2000, 2001. It's when I got my first rental property. And so I've been a landlord for over 20 years now. So I've dealt with everything with the tenants, from evictions to someone dying in one of my units. All of these are things that I went through. And so I know a lot about real estate. I know a lot about cap rate. I know a lot about finding the right property to purchase. And so that's kind of my field that I've developed. And I really enjoy real estate. But you may find a mentor who's into the stock market. He'll show you how to do the mutual funds or how to invest in certain things. And definitely get with a financial planner. There's a lot of them out there. And find a good one that's going to set you up to kind of have a goal. If you meet with any investment planner, they're going to have a chart where they put in the amount of money you're investing now. And then 20 years or 30 years from now, they're going to tell you how much money you're going to have at that point. That's pretty basic stuff. They can do that. You can find those online tools, of course, easily online to do that. But bottom line is, when you're working out there in the field, you're young, you're physically fit, but you know the sun, the wear and tear in your body, everything takes a toll on you, and you can't do this kind of job forever. You're going to have to know that. I ran into a landscaper or a gardener out there. I would see him every week, and he was probably in his late 50s. He had about 5 paid for rental properties, and he said that, you know, probably in another year or two, he's just going to turn over the business to someone else and just kind of ride off into the sunset. And he was at the point where he couldn't even push a lawnmower anymore. He just was the guy that was with the blower, because all those years of doing that really wore out his body. So keep that in mind, that, you know, you're young now, but your body definitely will get worn out, and you need to have some kind of plan in place for your future. So I really appreciate you listening to my podcast, and I wouldn't get this far with episode 600 without the listener support. And I enjoy the feedback I get from people that listen to the podcast and email me. If you have any questions, you can definitely email me at david@swimmingpoollearning.com. Go to my website, swimmingpoollearning.com, to find previous episodes of the podcast I recorded. On the banner, you're going to see a podcast icon. Click on that. It'll take you to the previous episodes that I have recorded in the past. And if you're in the industry and you want to enhance your business or you're starting out, definitely consider my coaching program at poolguycoaching.com. A lot of great benefits for joining there, including the ability to text me and call me in real time, and also a discount on your general liability insurance. I think you could really benefit from the coaching program if you're starting out, if you've been doing it for a while, or if you just want to enhance your business and take it to the next level. Again, you can find more about the coaching program at poolguycoaching.com. Thanks for listening to this podcast. Have a rest of your week, and God bless. The Pool Guy Podcast Show. The Pool Guy Podcast Show. The Pool Guy Podcast Show. Real quick, if you're not using pool service software, try Skimmer free for 30 days at getskimmer.com/poolguy. Again, that's getskimmer.com/poolguy. Skimmer, everything you need to run your pool service business all in one app.